There is a verse in the Bible I believe all of you, all people, without exception, can identify with. It's in the book of Job, the 5th chapter, verse 7. Man is born unto trouble, even as sparks from the fire always fly upward. You ask this morning, have you ever had troubles? You would say, sure, I've had plenty, and I have some right now, and I anticipate some in the future. Trouble is the common lot of mankind. I heard a story last night that reveals just how painful some troubles can be. I assume the story is true. Two men came to the emergency room about the same time. Both had the same problem, experienced the same trouble. They had been hit by an automobile. Both were about the same age, both were about the same height and the same weight, and both had the same problem. Their hips had been broken when were hit by the car. As the weeks went on, one man seemed to recover to the treatment that he was given, and the other man did not improve at all. If anything, he got worse. In investigating as to why this was so, it was found that the one man who was not responding did not want to get well. He had a problem so great, he did not want to return home. What was it? They checked into it and learned how he came to be in the hospital. He had a rebellious teenage son who came in that evening and demanded the use of the car for the evening outing, whatever that outing was. And the father said, no, I will not let you have the car. The boy became angry and cussed his father out and said, I don't need your car keys. I have my own set, which he had secretly gone and had made. And so he went out the door and got in the car. His father was in behind him, and his father stood behind the car and said, you're not taking the car. The boy put him reversed and back over to his daddy, knocked him down and left him in the driveway and drove off for his night of fun. The ambulance came and took him to the hospital in a sense a hit and run accident. And the father said, I don't want to go back home. I don't want to be around my boy, or my boy be around me anymore. Man is born to trouble. Today there are a lot of problems facing us that other generations may not have had to deal with. There is the problem, the trouble that we face, the growing epidemic of AIDS. And that's a big one. The instability of marriages. One half of every marriage today, or one half of all the marriages end up in divorce. That's pretty bad odds. Then we're hearing more and more about child molestation, child abuse, wife abuse, drug addiction, crime and violence in the street, the homeless, the unemployment, our school system not able to turn out students that can read and write, and we have a lot of problems on the horizon. If you could collect all the tears that would be shed today from all the people of all the world, I wonder if you'd have enough water to fill a bathtub. You say, man, preacher, if you collected all the tears from all the people in all the world, you'd have enough water to float a battleship. And that may be true. Now, people collect a lot of things. But have you ever heard of anybody collecting tears? Psalms 56:8. The psalmist says of God, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Did you know that was in the Bible? The psalmist says to God, put my tears in thy bottle and write them down in thy book. I looked this up in the dictionary and found out that tear bottles were popular in the days of Egypt and the pharaohs. And when someone was buried, the mourners would come and they would all be given a bottle. And they would collect the tears, and then those were tears of love and memory that were left there in the tomb with the one that had died. A token of their love for the dead was a bottle of tears. And they can go in the tombs in Egypt and find all these bottles that were left there. There was also a custom in Palestine in the early days of the Jews that if you had a calamity or a sorrow, that you would have a tear bottle and you would collect your tears, and then you would preserve these at a small bottle place somewhere as a memory or a reminder, as the tears of the testimony of the sorrow you went through for generations to come to see. Some child say, "Hey, Mama, what's that bottle?" And she said, "That's my tear bottle of sorrow. Let me tell you about it." That man could get him a bottle, fill it with tears, and say, "There on the bottle, son, is the tears that you caused me." Could do that, couldn't he? Now, have you ever shed any tears that you would have liked to collect them? Good question. Would you like to have some of your tears remembered by God, collected by God, and remembered by generations to come? Now, the object lesson I'm on this morning, and I've been preaching on object lessons for 3 years almost, is a tear bottle. I don't have one. Don't plan on getting one, but that'd be something to collect. Not many folks collect tear bottles, but I mean, there are some. I wonder how well today I would do if I came out with tear bottles and put them on the market. I wonder if they would sell. Everything else sells, but I have never seen that on the market. Might be a new item you want to push. Tear bottles. But you see, most of the time we try to hide our tears. Believe me, there's something in my eye. That's why it's water. We don't want people to know if we cry. And we sure wouldn't put them in a bottle and say, "That's my tear bottle." People say, "Well, you must be crazy." Do you know the shortest verse in the Bible? If you want to memorize Scripture, I can give you the easy one. Two words. The shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35. Probably you know what it is, but if you don't, here's one you can memorize real quick. That's not the most popular verse or anybody's favorite, but it's the shortest verse. 11:35. Two words. Jesus wept. That's it. That's it. Now, why did God put that in the Bible? Hey, that's a tear bottle. God wants us to remember throughout all eternity that Jesus wept on that occasion. That was written down by God. David said, "I want you to write down when I cry." And God wrote this one down, didn't he? How do I know Jesus cried? The Bible said he did. God reminds us of it. There's a reason, and I'll get to that in a minute. So in a sense, these tears of Christ were bottled. Remember the prophetic words of Isaiah about the coming Messiah? In Isaiah 53:3, he said he would be a man of sorrow. And that's right. Now, I'm talking about Jesus. He'd be a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We don't normally picture Jesus as a person that has sorrow. He was a person that problems got to him. Well, they did. They did. But there's another scripture I want you to look at that most folks either don't read or don't remember. Hebrews 5:5. Hebrews 5:7 verse 8. Let me show you something. Verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. In the days of his flesh, that is, during the days that Jesus was up on this earth, in his human body, when he prayed, now notice, and when he prayed with strong crying and tears. Did you know that was in the Bible? Now, you don't read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John where Jesus prayed and cried during his prayers. You don't read that, but you do here. He prayed with prayers and supplications, crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Sometimes suffering gets so bad, folks, it brings tears to the eyes. Right? Right. Now, Christ did not just suffer on the cross. I don't read where he wept on the cross. That's where I really shed some tears, I think, on the cross. Tears of pain. But anyway, we don't read about tears there. We read about tears before he gets to the cross. There at the raising of Lazarus, when he stood and looked at Jerusalem and he saw the city that rejected him and he wept. When he prayed, the Bible says he wept. So there were many times and days and weeks and hours and months during his ministry that he shed tears. And we hear of no tears on the cross. Now, not all tears qualify for bodily. Put it that way. I see basketball, football games, baseball games, the score, you know, is close, and one last shot, and the team wins, and the other team begins to cry. Well, you don't bottle those games. They don't qualify. Some girl calls up, and the boy won't go out with her, and she sheds a tear. That doesn't qualify. You run the store for a sale, and you're the last one there, and somebody gets it ahead of you, and you begin to weep, oh, I got a head hit. That doesn't qualify. Those kind don't deserve to be bottled. You plan a picnic today and it rains at 12 o'clock and you begin to weep. That doesn't qualify. Those kind of tears just don't measure up to what God says worthy of remembrance and bottling. Did you know the Christian ought to have tears that the natural unsaved man would never shed? I said ought to them. People look at Jesus and they would say, why are you crying? Especially the Pharisees and Sadducees. I don't know what there is to cry about. Now, folks, real, growing, spiritually deep Christians are going to have some troubles that make them weep that the unsaved man will never have. Did you know that? And if you're not having them and you're a Christian, then there's something wrong in your spiritual life and you're cold. You're too cold. You're too hard. Now, the things that made Jesus weep would not make the average man weep, nor a carnal Christian weep. But the Christian is not an average man. And we got some problems, folks, that the world's folks don't have. And that's one way you can find it this morning if you really are a Christian. We have reason to weep this morning the world does not have reason for. Jesus refers this kind of weeping in Matthew, the 5th chapter, when he's called the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. You're familiar with it. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. If you turn to Luke 6:2, you find out Luke says, blessed are they that weep. How about that? Now, this weeping is worth collecting in bottles. All right? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And Luke said, blessed are they that weep, for they shall be comforted. Christian looks in a mirror. What he sees there is enough to make him weep. Now please follow me. He looks in his own eyes and he sees there eyes that still lust. He sees there lips that still lie. He sees there still ears that still shut their voice to the living God. He sees there a heart that is still fickle and two-timing with the bridegroom. He sees there a mind that is hard and rebellious as he looks in that mirror. He sees there are hands that are stingy and hands that still hurt. He sees there in that mirror also feet that prefer the broad road to the narrow road. And how should he respond to what he sees? Well, Paul looked in the mirror, and let me tell you how Paul responded. Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 18. Paul says, I know that in my flesh there dwells no good thing. As I look in the mirror, I see bad lips, bad mouth, bad head, bad heart, bad feet, bad hands. I see a lot of bad things. To will in me is present, but how to do what I really want to do, I don't know. The good that I would do, I don't do it. And that upsets me. And the evil which I do not want to do, I do that. And that upsets me. He goes on and says, I delight in the law of God. After the inward man, oh, now notice, oh, how happy I am. No. I would like to add a tear to this verse as Paul talked about, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death or trouble. You know, folks, the number one enemy of Billy Brunson is Billy Brunson. Did you know that? No one gets me in more trouble with other people and with my God than Billy Brunson. I am my number one enemy. I am the one that fights the Lord. I am the one that goes against Him. I'm the one that breaks His heart. I'm the one that's cantankerous. I'm the one. But the Christian says, that's true. And it breaks my heart. And it brings tears to my eyes. Oh, wretched man that I am. Will there ever be deliverance? I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be so cold, so hard, so mean to my God. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to ruin my life and the lives of other people. So wasteful. Do bad things. Think. I don't want to be like that. Have you lost that sensitivity, people, where it no longer grieves you to be bad? It can happen. It can happen. I call these the tears of defeat based on the defects that I still see in my life. Tears that are caused from grieving the Holy Spirit. How many times have I backed over God and left Him in the driveway with broken bones? Did you hear me? How many times have you said to God, I've got my keys and I'll go where I want to go if I have to back over you and knock you flat on your back? Get out of my way, God. I'm going to do what you don't want me to do. Now, folks, I've done that. And I've never realized that I have backed over my God, because He's always out there saying, don't go, Billy. Don't go. And I have to run over Him to go. I never thought about that. And we want to go, and I told that story, boy, that is one sorry, good-for-nothing boy. I mean, he ought to be in the pen. I tell you, he is the sorriest scoundrel. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. This sermon hit me like a ton of bricks. I can't blame the boy, for I have done the same thing. Oh, not with an automobile. With my eyes and my lips and my ear and my tongue and my heart, I have gone out and made him a wreck as I left him lying behind. David had to run over God to get to Bathsheba. Had to run over him. Knock him down and drive off. Brethren, think about it. Think about it. The Christian weeps because of the way he knows he has treated his God. He mourns as he sees what he's still like. That he still sees that he's filled with pride. That he still sees that he is possessed of a cold, hard heart towards people and even towards the Lord. That he's bullheaded and stiff-necked. He weeps when he begins to say, what on earth have I done for God? And he holds out his hands and he says, nothing. Where's all the fruit? And he has nothing to look at and call fruit. You see, folks, we have something to weep about. And the Lord says, I'll bottle those tears. I'll bottle those tears. Because that weeping is a result of regret. That boy that ran over his daddy did not weep. How much different would it have been had he come to the hospital and said, Dad, I'm sorry. And he'd have cried, and he'd have cried, and he'd have cried. I'll never do it again, Dad. Never. Please forgive me. How much different that would have made to that daddy. He'd have wanted to get well. God says, I'll bottle those tears of a broken heart. Because that means you want to stop it. And I want to remember that. And it means you're going to come to me and ask that I'll be forgiven. And you want to come to me and ask that you help me not let you do it again. And I want to remember that. I'll bottle that tear. But have you ever stopped how callous we are, folks, if we don't cry? we go out and flirt with some other God besides Jesus, choose that God over Him, prefer that God over Him. I'm afraid a lot of folks this morning that are not here are out with some other God. And they won't cry about it. But to go there, they had to knock down their bridegroom. Get out of the way! For I have another lover today. Brethren, they should shed tears. How would you like it this morning if your wife or husband shoved you out the door, stomped on you, and said, I'm going down the street to find me a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend? So, oh, that'd be the most scoundrelous thing in the world. Ah, brethren, look out. Look in the mirror. How about your heart? Jesus stands there beside the object and He says, choose me! And we push Him aside. No, I'll choose the object. Brethren, there needs to be some weeping in the hearts of God's children. You'll never find in the heart of the world. The world knocks down the dead and dries off and leaves them. But the Christian? You mean we do that? Sure, there's something different between us and the world's crowd. This morning, if there is a tear bottle in existence, and I'm not sure there is, but if there is one, I wonder how many tears are justifiably worthy enough for the Lord to have saved. How many tears have we shed over the way we are? And said, oh, wretched man that I am. God saves the tears of the repentant. But there are no tears of those that don't repent. There's nothing to say. I wonder how full our bottle would be today if the Lord appeared with tear bottles this morning and passed them out to us. How full would ours be? How long has it been since we felt sorrow and mourned? Blessed is he that mourns, the Bible says. Father, we're thankful this day that you love us like you do. And all we can say this morning is that if there is not that sensitivity to your feelings, if we are not broken before you as we look at what we have done and how we have treated you, may the Holy Spirit send in a flood of conviction that we might realize that we are not anything deserving of His blessing and praise. Father, may we not this morning back over God and leave Him there to suffer and sorrow and grief. But if we have done it, may we come back and say, I'm sorry. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.